Happy, happy, happy new year. Praise God. It's so good to be back here teaching God's word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalora, and tonight we are going into God's word that we have shared. We have titled As We Proceed, and this is part 1B. I want to encourage you to ensure that you share this with a friend. I'll be praying very soon. We are on a road this year. It's going to be the word of God with all trends. You will be changed. You will be transformed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Have you shared it with your friend? Let's go. All right. Let's pray. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, tonight we are continuing on our series As We Proceed, and this is 1B, right? You know, every time, you know, we get into the year, in a new year, I always let people know that when it comes to a new year, right, a new year really for everyone is chronological. What that means really is the fact that, you know, a calendar has changed. Yeah, a calendar has changed. But it's an opportunity for a fresh start, right? A clean slate. And we're going to look at some things that will aid us in our journey, right? You know, in doing, in walking with God in the year 2024. Amen. And I want to say the things that I said in our Sunday service, which will be a blessing to you. Every year is really up to you. I'm going to say it this way. It's up to the things you prioritize. Write that down. It's up to the instructions you follow and it's up to the choices that you make, right? As We Proceed is a teaching that wants to emphasize these three points. Every year is a function of the instructions you follow, the choices you make, and the things you prioritize. And God helps us see this so clearly. Amen. The things you prioritize, the instructions you follow, right? The things you prioritize, the instructions you follow, and the choices that you make. God is a God that loves us so much that He gave us the free will to make choices. Right? And I shared it is the same thing with the children of Israel, with Moses as well. You realize that with the children of Israel, Moses would tell the children of Israel, I lay before you. Look at it, Deuteronomy 30. It's important you're there. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Are you there? Amen. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this there against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you may live, right? Even the children of Israel, we are given a choice. Go God's way or go outside God's way. Then he even tells them, going God's way is the one that's good for you. Going outside God's way is automatically death, right? Choose God's way that you may live. So, you see, the truth about it is that in every year, it's about the choices that you make, the instructions that you follow, and the things that you prioritize. And we, you know, when we get into a particular year, you know, people hear men of God say things prophetically, right? Prophetically. And the point is, a good number of the time, see, it's not a difficult thing to hear God. So while there are false prophets, the truth is that there are people who heard God about the things that are happening in the year. But sometimes, I'm trying to be very, very basic and clean. This is my first teaching. Sometimes during, you know, when you get into the end of the year, you look back and say, all the things they said was going to happen this year did not happen. Does it mean that the person that is speaking for the word is a false prophet? Not particularly so most of the times. I'm not saying they are not false prophets. I am just saying that people don't understand that prophecies are not automatic. If you think prophecies, a lot of the prophecies that are given are not automatic. Prophecies are actually most of the times conditional. There are things you do with prophecy to ensure that prophecies come to pass. There are some, there, you know, so for example, let us go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to show you these because as we proceed, there's a tendency to, oh, these, I've been hearing prophecies for many years. What's going on? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 20. It says to you, despite not prophesying. So there is actually the ministry in God where men will stand and by the Holy Ghost, they will say things to come. But one of the things that should happen that you would not to ensure that you fulfill the will of God and the plan of God is that you do what? You do not despise prophecies. The moment you start to despise prophecies, you will not see those prophecies come to pass. Very, very important. Let me even share with you something very, very important that you need to know for any word of God to actually work in your life. And see, I am telling you that if you hear what I'm about to say now, your life will change. So listen carefully. 1 Thessalonians, the same place, chapter 2, verse 13. How can your life change by the word? Right? How can your life change by the word as we proceed? Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Are you there? It says, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Why is Paul thankful? It says, when you receive the word of God. So number one, you know, we are looking at how to proceed in the year. And I'm already sharing some powerful things with you. I already said to you, the fact that someone prophesied over you means nothing. It may or may not happen. That it happens, the time it is dependent on what you do with what was said. It's very important. Look at it. So I've said to you, number one, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. He says, despise not prophecies, meaning that you would actually. So when someone is prophesying to you, one of the things that is important is that you hear what they say. Because when you hear what they say, that's how you can hold on to that which was said. Amen. Prophecies don't happen magically. Prophecies are conditional. Write it down. The fact that God said something does not mean it will happen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, so there's a way to receive God's word. It says, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. Whose word will come to pass in your life? The word you receive from a man, and you think of it not as if it was the man that was speaking, but that it was God that was speaking. Let me say it again. See, God's ways are mechanical. Do you know what a mechanic is? A mechanic is someone that can take the engine of a car, screw it open, and close it back step by step. So there are step-by-step realities to God. So God is saying the word of God working in your life is not a function of the fact that even that the fact that God said it. The word of God working in your life is first that you receive the word. So no matter what God wants to do in your life, if you don't receive it, it will not happen. So let me give you a flip side. If somebody should curse you and you don't believe in the curse, it won't happen. Because you have a part to play. Amen? You have a part to play in a curse coming to pass in your life. It's the same way. So if someone comes and say you would die in 5 days, if you laugh and walk away, nothing will happen to you. If someone says you will die in 5 days, and you say, hey, my God, oh my God, and you're running up earth and scatter, go and prepare your will, you will die. Why? Because for a new man in Christ, his will is involved in anything. See, if I prophesy over somebody now and I say, you have a child in the next 1 year, and the person says, no, not me, there is nothing my anointing can do. My own anointing cannot overshadow the will of God, the will of a person. You need to understand this about how God operates. That is why Jesus Christ, hold your Bible in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and go to the book of Mark chapter 6. I want you to start to read from verse 2. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ, who is Jesus? The Savior. Who is Jesus? God that became a man. He says, Jesus Christ could not do any mighty works to the point that, do you understand what's happening here? Let me show you. Mark 6. We'll come back to 1 Thessalonians. I'll open it. I know I am going on jet speed. It's because there are a lot of things to say, and I'm sure you've missed me. Okay, praise God. Mark 6, right? Look at verse 2. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and they were astonished. And they said, from where is this man, these things that he's saying? What wisdom is this which is giving your life? Neither can the devil do anything in your life be without your participation or agreement. Directly or indirectly, it's a powerful truth. Look at it. You are powerful in the mix. You are the one that empowers anybody in your life.
either God or man. You empower God's prophecy or you actually disarm God's prophecy.
Hey, look at verse 5.
And read it slowly. And he could
do no mighty works.
Who could do no mighty works? God. Can God be paralyzed in a particular atmosphere? Yes. Look at it. Because
he could do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick
and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about teaching. What do you do when people do not receive your ministry? Continue teaching. Amen. But just listen. But my point here is this. My point to you is the fact that a man either empowers or dethrones God's word coming to pass in his life. God could not operate in a city because they did not receive the word. Look, go back to 1 Thessalonians 2. I want you to understand. I want you to understand how the word of God works, how the word of God operates, how the word of God functions. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Amen. For this cause also we thank you without ceasing. We thank God without ceasing. When you receive the word of God which you have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as what it is in truth. So, for example, let me help you. Who is the person that will bless you the most this year? The person who, when he is teaching, you see him as not him, a man, but as a representative and a vessel of God. If you don't see that way, listen to it here. He says you received it not as the word of men, but as what it is in truth, the word of God. Look at the next part of it. This is the secret there. Which effectually worketh. Operational. It is operative. You are the one that makes the word of God operative. By receiving the word of God, not as the word of men. By receiving the word of God, not as the word of men. By receiving the word of God, not as the word of men. So when the word of prophecy is coming your way, you are paying attention because you understand that it is your hearing and accepting what is said that makes it happen. Amen? Listen, and I'll show you what it means by accepting what is said. You are going, God, so when someone is speaking, you'll be asking, is this Dio speaking or is this God speaking through Dio? The moment you are not sure if it is Dio speaking, nothing good can come out of this teaching. You might as well put it off. Why? Because for you to receive, you must see me as God's man speaking to you. That's how the word of God works. Amen. Praise God. It's not Dio. It's not about me. It's about the operandus of the word of God. He says you would receive it. He says that word there is effectually working, meaning operative. So there are a lot of times the word of God is not operative, it's not operational, it's just latent, it's just there in the air, right? It takes one person seeing the word of God as what it is, and then it becomes operational. Did you get that? You see, that's how the word works. He received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which worketh effectually in them that believe. So let me say something to you. I said it that God will always speak through men. God will use men. You are the one that is to see the words that men are speaking as the word that men are speaking. And so what do you do? What do you do when you hear the words of prophecy come your way? Let me show you what Daniel did. It's important, right? So there was a man. There was a man called Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. Jeremiah prophesied and said, in 70 years, this will happen, right? In the 70th year, Daniel realized that what Jeremiah prophesied had not come to pass. Let me tell you what Daniel did not do. So the first thing you are to know is this man speaking by God? If this man is speaking by God, there are things we do to ensure what he says comes to pass. You know, a lot of times when people actually hear, like I spoke to our local church by privilege and said it's the year that they are manifesting the glory of God, right? They are manifesting the glory of reading. How did Daniel understand? Daniel understood by books. I'll say it again. How did Daniel understand? Thank you. Daniel understood by books the number of years whereof the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 7 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah had prophesied that in 70 years, some certain things will stop. 70 years has reached. How did the man know? The man knew by books. Look at verse 3. Check this out. And I set my face. Look at it. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed. What did the man do the moment he heard that the 70 years had come to pass, but the prophecy had not come to pass? The man did not say Jeremiah is a liar. The man went into prayer and fasting to ensure that he sees the manifestation of what the prophet said. What am I saying to you? I am saying to you, the fact that people, you might be hearing me from your local church, the fact that somebody, fine, the fact that somebody has said this and this is going to happen, what do I do as a smart believer? I will be like Daniel. He says, I now would now go into prayer. So you do something with that which is said. That's what makes us know that you received that which was said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What do you do with that which was said? You go into prayer. Let me show you in another place. Acts 13, verse 2. What do I do when I've heard the words? As we proceed in this new year, I know you will hear words. Hey, Acts 13. I'll start to read from verse 1. Now they were in the church. Where were they? In the church. Yeah, I hope you are learning something else. You should be going to church. Amen. Praise God. The gathering of the saints. That it was in Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucian and Mane, right, who had been brought up with Herod the Tucker, and as they ministered to the Lord, what we will call a Holy Ghost beating. Look at what's happened. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what was the fasting? The fact that they spent long time ministering to the Lord. So real proper, there are two ways we could fast. Number one, we fast, listen carefully so you know, we fast to deal with the flesh, and we fast focusing on the Lord. So you see, we don't fast to please God. We fast to focus on God, and we fast to discipline our flesh. That's why we fast. Right, and as we fast in focusing on the Lord and disciplining our flesh, we become more spiritually sensitive. You know, a lot of people don't know why we fast. People think they can use fasting to motivate God, inspire God, get God to say what He didn't say before, get God to do what He didn't do before. You know, just so that you are clear, I fast. I'm a man that believes in fasting to a good degree. Not to boast, I try to live a fasted life self. But the point is, yeah, that's why I'm this slim. I've been off a good. But the point is, the reason I do that is not for God's sake. It's to put my flesh under and to be spiritually switched on. I don't fast for God. I fast for me because I understand how stupid my flesh can be. Are you getting the point? Amen. That's why we fast. Look at it. So as a believer, you should give yourself to fasting. Don't say Christ has paid it all. We don't fast. You're in trouble. He told me that's not our grace. I didn't teach you that one. Look at it. He says, as they minister to the Lord, the ministering to the Lord is fasting. Amen. Amen. This Saturday, for example, myself and the saints will most likely be on an 8-hour prayer. We will be saying we are ministering to the Lord. That 8 hours we are fasting. What are we doing in the fast? Ministering to the Lord. You get it? That's what we do. Amen. As they minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of ministry which I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed, listen, what happened? They were in a meeting fasting. What happened in the meeting? They said, separate Paul and Barnabas. It's time for them to start their apostolic ministry. What did they do? After the word of prophecy came, they went back to prayer and fasting. Did you notice it? What do you do after you hear God's word? You go back and pray. Amen. Let me show you so that you understand. People say, yeah, what a God did not come to buy the word of God. Number one, do you receive it? How do we know you receive it? You now actually do something with it. That is spiritual intelligence. Amen. Look at it. And as they ministered to the Lord and were fasting, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work where which I have called them. Amen. And when they had fasted and prayed, are you seeing it now? They laid their hands on them and sent them away to the way of the Salamis. Are you hearing? So what is happening here? We are fasting, we are praying. God says something to us. We write down what he says. That makes us go on fasting and prayer. So we started fasting and prayer to enter more fasting and prayer. Let me say it better to you. When we enter into fasting and prayer, sometimes we have no particular direction. We are just praying. I hope you are listening to me this year. We are coming with fire. We are just praying. We are just praying in the Holy Ghost. We are just praying. In the prayer in the Holy Ghost now starts to streamline our desires and gives us something, a word. He points us in a particular direction. When he points us in a particular direction, we now realize that he said, this thing he said, Europe have I given to you. Take it over for Jesus. What do we do after we hear Europe have I given to you? You don't just say, hey, after we say, okay, let's say this way. After we say, glory, Europe has been given to us. What do we go back into? Prayer and fasting. Why? Because that's what we do after we hear God's word. We go into prayer to know what to do, to know what to pray, and to know how to pray. Amen. So when we hear, when we are privileged to by prophecy already hear God's word, it takes us into prayer and fasting. Are you getting the point? That's the point. The point is, when words are spoken over you, you don't put it in your pocket. You run with it. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Hope you are there. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. 1 Timothy. Are you there? Look at chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Are you there? This charge, it's a charge. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest, mark it in your Bible, that thou, what do you do with prophecies? Is there war? A prophecy is not a word you put in your pocket and you dance about. When they give you prophecy, set it up in your mind. It's time for war. Amen. Dada, what do you do with prophecy? War, a good warfare. Why? You are that one that wants it to come to pass. Let me let you understand something. Because people don't know. It's not only the Holy Ghost that is the spirit on the earth. You know, a lot of people don't know. People wonder why we pray. We pray because there are many spirits on the earth, and a good number of them are not for you if you're a believer. There are demons on the earth whose assignment is against your operation and success, meaning their job description is to ensure you're not successful. There are spirits on the earth. People don't know these things. That's why a believer that is not praying is reckless. I have a lot of things to do. Ah, bro. Do you understand spiritual reality? Do you understand that there are spirits in this world that can frustrate you and you didn't know it was be there were spirits are behind these things? They will use men because they're in control of men. Yeah. You must understand. This is the secret and the wisdom and the power of the believer. He must understand that there is in a world where with their diverse spirits. Only one spirit is on your side, the Holy Spirit and God's angels. Every other spirit is against you. So it's war. Because these spirits are against you fulfilling God's plan. They understand that God has a plan for your life, and they will make up their mind. They've made up their minds to ensure that you do not succeed. They want to do to you what they did to Judas Iscariot. They want to ensure you don't fulfill God's plan and God's purpose. Even after you have made a mistake, they want to let you know that that mistake that you have made is the end of it. Amen. They want to ensure that you commit a destiny suicide, a purpose suicide. They want to put, you know, it's not for only few people, it's for everybody. Because you need to understand that you are strategic to God's plan and God's purpose. That's why Jesus will say to Peter, 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 the enemy desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed. He now says, when you are strengthened, strengthen your brethren. Are you hearing me? You must people, because people don't understand it. Why are we praying? Why are we saying do a good warfare with prophecy? We heard the prophecy has come. Now let the prophecy just come to pass. God said it. No, 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 no. Amen. There are spirits. Let me tell you about Jesus. Because if I tell you about Jesus a little, you might be inspired. Now, Jesus is the Savior. His birth was supernatural, but he was going to be born into this world. And there are many spirits in this world that are against what Jesus will do. So when Jesus is born, guess who the spirit inspired to ensure that he kills him? Herod. Herod said everybody should be wiped out. You think it was Herod that was interested in killing people? What happened? Herod was envious. The envy of Herod was what accommodated the devil to operate on the earth, and they killed everybody in the time of Jesus. Who are they looking for? Jesus. What needed to happen? The prayers of men. They had prayed enough to ensure that an angel will appear to Joseph to tell Joseph, take that baby and run to Africa. You know, when an angel appears to you and says, run to Africa, you know that is a problem. You understand what I'm saying? Say, take that baby and run to Egypt. No matter where they are looking for you, they can't look for you in Egypt. And stay there till I tell you to come back. That's Jesus, who was coming to do the will of God. He was going to die. It was not a negotiation. He was right to do the will of God. But there are spirits on the earth that will not allow you. They did not want you. Did you know that there was a point Jesus was preaching? And they took him and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Jesus, I'm trying to help you understand that if they did it for Jesus, how much more you? You hope you know that you are joint heirs with Christ. Hope you know that you are the member of the body of Christ. So don't think that the devil has stopped that holiday. I'm not trying to make you devil conscious. I'm just trying to make you prayer sensitive. Understand that there are spirits on the earth and only the Holy Spirit is for you. Amen. Praise God. That is why we do what? We give ourselves to prayer. So that which God said will come to pass in his multifaceted ways. Amen. Amen. So in this year, you have heard a lot of things. The next thing you want to do is give yourself to what? Prayer. That's what I've spent the last 30 minutes telling you. If you don't get it, oh my God. Give yourself to what? Prayer. Give yourself to what? Prayer. That's how we know you have received the word. Remember where I started off from? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You receive the word, not as the word of man, but as the word of God, which worketh effectually. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read verse 18 for you. It's a charge. I'm charging you tonight. I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before you, that thou mayest war a good warfare. How? Holding faith. And a good conscience. We're going to get to this matter of faith and a good conscience very soon. Which some haven't put away. What have they done? They've made a shipwreck. Look at verse 20. He even gave us an example of Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto opposition. Not Satan, as in physical Satan. You know, you don't deliver believers to Satan. That word there is Satan. Satan means against. I have come, I'm standing against them. I have delivered them unto, I've made everybody know that they are not ours. I'm standing against them. Who have delivered unto opposition, that they may learn. So what was the problem? They had gone out of the faith. They did not take fast hold of the words that were spoken. They were saying something else, doing something else. Let me tell you something. What is the number two thing? You know, I just told you, give yourself to prayer. What is the number two thing, right, that I want you to do as we proceed in this year? Look at verse 19 again. Holding faith and a good conscience. Holding what? Faith. So when we talk about faith, we are in the realms of the word. Very important. Holding faith and a good conscience. You see, one of the things believers nowadays don't do is that they don't give themselves to the study of God's word. When you don't give yourself the study of God's word, we cannot be talking about faith. Write this down, because faith only begins when the will of God is known. The will of God is written in the word of God. Amen. You cannot be in faith and not know what was said. Amen. I'll say it again. You don't know what was said. You didn't read what was said. Amen. What? Amen. Let me show you. That is why Paul. Let me give you an instruction. Do you want to have a very, very good 2024? Take fast hold of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and do what is in those two chapters. You will transmogrify your year. Selah. That's one of the books that has most instructions. If you, in that book, you almost count about 40 instructions there. Yeah? Okay? All right. Selah. Let me show you what I'm trying to say here. Glory to God. We are going to give ourselves to what? We are going to give ourselves to reading. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you give yourself to the study of God's word. Let me show you here. Right. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. He's there. It's one of the instructions. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. A workman. So you are going to take the word. You would listen to it. You would take the word of God. You will study it. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Put your hand in Timothy. Look at the book of Acts 17. Look at Acts 17, verse 11. I'm going to read from verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming went into the synagogue of the Jews. Who are these Bereans? Verse 11. They were more noble. That word there was that they were rich. That's what it means. They were doing better. They were more noble than those, in meaning that they were smoother. You know, they had a swag, you know, that kind of stuff. They were paying kind of believers, you know, kind of stuff. They don't fight anyhow. That's what he meant there. That's what noble. They're more noble than those in Thessalonica, because Thessalonica guys were ruffians. Amen. He says in that, what was the nobility about them? What was that thing that you could note about them? It says it here that they received the word with all readiness. You know, there's a way to receive God's word. You know, some people think that Bible study, they feel it's like they are doing God a service. They are not excited about it. They are looking at the time all the time. When will it end? Because they want to go and do their next thing. You understand? And they wonder why the word of God is not producing. They are listening to the word of God, but they are on Instagram, Facebook, social media, and they are wondering what's going on with the word of God. No, it's not the word of God, it's you. There is a way. This is spiritually matters. This is where you are supposed to be the most concentrated. Amen. Amen. This is where you are fighting every distraction territory. He says they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, meaning their minds were engaged when the word was being taught. Their mind was not sweet talk. Their mind was not frying plantain in the kitchen. Their mind was not thinking about what they are going to wear to work on Monday. They were in the word. They opened Acts 17. They are there. There's a way to receive God's word. Amen. Amen. With all readiness of mind. And they search the scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. What did they do different from others? They said the word daily. Daily. They search. We're going to go into another scripture here. Anaginosko. Investigated. Somebody comes and says something. You sit down with the word. He said John 5. You go and search it. You are looking at it daily. Do you have a daily devotion, brother? I want to see glory. I want to see revival. Do you? Amen. Do you have a time with the Lord? Personal, not corporate. There's a place for corporate and there's a place for personal. You must understand the good balance of it. Amen. Don't do personal without corporate. Don't do corporate without personal. It's a balance of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. God believes in community and God believes in individualism. But you must understand the beautiful balance. Amen. Praise God. I have corporate prayers and I have personal prayers. You do it. Corporate Bible study and personal Bible study. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. They said the word of God daily. My sister, you may need to cut down your schedule. My brother, you may need to cut down your schedule. You don't want to be stupid again in 2024. I'm not insulting you. I'm describing you. Amen. A lot of things that you are looking for is in the written word of God. Wisdom will sanitize your time. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Amen. Stop the rat race. Know the most important things. Your spiritual growth is paramount. It will change your desires. Amen. Don't be a fool, slow of heart to believe that we the Lord has said. Amen. I'm just quoting the scriptures. Look at it there. Look at it there. It says, and they set the scriptures daily. If the things that were said are so. Amen. Do you go back on your notes from the Sunday service? Do you even listen to the Sunday service again? Do you? It says it there. They went back again to listen to it. He says, after they did this, look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Many of them what? Meaning that it is the intentional, continuous rolling over the word that does something to you. Go back to where we were. 1 Timothy 1. Or 2 Timothy 2, sorry, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. As we proceed in this year, if you say, what is he even talking about? As we proceed in this year, my brother, I'm saying study. Study so that you'll be able, as you study, you'll be able to know exactly what God will have you pray out. Amen. It is there. Study to show yourself approved. A workman. There are a lot of times you have spent a lot of time in many prayer meetings where with the prayer meeting, what we are praying about is not what God wants to have you pray about, but you don't know because you don't study. Study to show yourself approved. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Imagine spending all night saying, God, come into me. God, come into me. God, come into me. It's because you don't study. God is in you. Amen. Amen. That's it. Study to show yourself approved, the workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? If you don't study to know the truth, God can use you as he wants to. Let me show you where he said it. Okay. It's in that 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please look at it. Verse 15. You know he says study to show yourself approved. I want you to get to verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purges himself of these, what is he purging himself of? Purging himself of ignorance. What is the context? Study. Purges himself of wrong teaching. Study. If a man purges himself, what happens to him? He becomes a vessel unto honor and esteem. So everybody is not the same in the kingdom of God. Though we have the same spirit, there are some people God can use. There are some people God cannot use. It's not sectionalism or segregationalism. It is, don't go and go. All right. Stop. But in a great house, there are many of gold, of silver, of wood, of earth, some of honor, some to dishonor. If therefore a man purges himself of all this, he becomes a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. As you study, in any nation, in any city that you are in, God wants to do something. He will count you as one of the people he can use. Meet, you are ready for every good work. Is there? Amen. Is there? Because you gave yourself to study. See, God has a plan. God has a purpose. But God is waiting and looking unto you. Amen. So study. Don't think that maybe you are not part of everything. You are part of God's plan. until you pick up studying God's word, you realize that you are such an integral part of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Are you there? Let's read that from verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is giving me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in few words. So, where is the mystery? The mystery is written down. You getting it? Listen, God's mystery. Forget about people that deceive you. Oh, there's a level that is not unseen. Where is God's mystery? It is written down. Who is a good local church pastor? The one that gets you to read and study, to know the truth for yourself. God's mystery has been written down. Something, there are some deep portals. If you encounter angels, God's mystery, where it has been written down. Amen. Amen. In fact, all right, where is God's mystery? It is what? Written down. All the realities of God has been written down. That's why believers don't go outside the word. The word enough for us. Okay? Whereby, look at verse 4. Ephesians 3 verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand. Bro, if you don't read, you can't understand. If you don't read, the eyes of your understanding cannot be enlightened. Nobody is cursing you. It's a truth. When we pray Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, it's to get you to read. It's to get you to eat, to hear. Amen. It's to get men to you that you will read what they wrote and hear what they said. Because when ye read, that word read is the Greek word anaginosko. It means to study, investigate, and come up with a reality. When you study, when ye read, ye may know, you would understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So, bro, you will give yourself to reading. Yeah, you will read the Bible. You will read materials by Christ-centered writers who are writing about Christ. You know, the time the Lord spoke to me and said, a lot of the things that people are crying about are already written in the book. Amen. They're already written, but people will not read. Amen. When ye read, amen, you may understand. See Paul. Higher. Reading is not something I used to read. In those days when we took Jesus seriously. That's not your portion. We are readers. We continually read. And you know what? Set schedules for this thing. So that you don't just hear another good word for the new year. Set a schedule. I would read these Christ-centered materials. Do you know that your spiritual growth, millions of people are waiting on your spiritual growth? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, now this is Paul. Paul, according to us, is about to die. Right? He's about to die. Right? And he wrote it there. He wrote it. Let me show you. 2 Timothy 4. So he's about to die and he's giving last instructions to his son. Right? How do we know? Look at verse 6. For I am now already offered up. My time of departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. What did he say he has done? He has finished his course. I'm in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid for me, he's even telling us about his reward. There is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, not only me, but also them that love is appearing. This is quite interesting. This man has told us, my work has finished, but only Job to verse 13. He now writes him, he now says, the cloak, meaning the clothes, the cloak, that I left at Troas with Capos, when thou comest, bring them with thee. And the books, especially the parchments. These are his writings. These are books. Are you hearing? This man told us, you know, imagine God shows you a vision. You will soon die. See what Paul was doing when he knew he would soon die. He wrote a book to his son, telling him to bring a book because he wanted to read. What is a man that is about to die doing with reading? Are you getting it? He says, bring the books, especially the parchments. Look at it. Why? Because in this our journey, you consistently feed. You don't feed, you don't act on the fact that you fed yesterday. Write it down. In our journey, you consistently feed. You don't act on the, I fed yesterday. You, as you are like this now, can you say because you ate 2 days ago, you are not eating today? Physically. You don't do that now. Right? The man said, bring the books, especially the parchments. Bring those parchments. Bring those truths. Bring those books. Bring it. I want to read it again. Amen. I want to read it again. Someone said, read it. They are books you have. They are Christ-centered books. Read them. Read them. Get inspired. Get fresh desires. Read them. Amen. See, let me tell you something. Let me show you something. The man that doesn't give himself to reading is tampering, is playing with his mind. In playing with your mind can become disloyal to you. Someone say, Pastor Dyer, it's not true. Pastor Dyer, what are you talking about? I am saying you can be born again. Let me show you. It's in verse 10 of that same scripture. Write it this way so you don't forget. I like, you know, people call it the catchy quotes. Say, read so you don't become like Demas. Write it down. Read so you don't become like Demas. I'll tell you who Demas is very soon. Demas, a contemporary of Timothy, Tychicus, Mark, they were all Titus, they were all children, spiritual sons of Paul. Right? Demas loved Paul. He loved the Lord. He loved. He was the kind of guy in those meetings that has all those buzzwords. Gospel forever. Instructed, sir. To the end of the earth we go with the word. What am I emphasizing tonight? Read. Why? Remember what I said? According to the prophecies that have been spoken unto you, whereby you do war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. How do you keep a good conscience? By reading. Because your conscience is a function of what you know. Amen. You know, for example, if you have been told that eating meat on Sunday is bad, your conscience will feel bad if you eat meat on Sunday. It doesn't even matter if there is no law like that anywhere else. If you just have a law and that's how you were raised up, that eating meat on Sunday is bad, your conscience will be smooth the day you eat meat on Sunday. That's what the conscience is. Your conscience is your sense of right and wrong. The best way to have a good conscience is to fill it with the word of God. And that's where reading comes in. So you can develop a conscience, a sense of right. You can develop a conscience that is very, very loose because you didn't give yourself to reading. Amen. And I'll give you some examples. Then we'll close. Right. See Demas in verse 10. He says, but Demas, he has forsaken me. Oh, you say, how can Demas? Demas was in the last convention. He was in the last retreat saying, oh my God, I received it by the Holy Ghost. Demas was in the last meeting. He was in the last convention. People always say, I don't know how people just do what they do. Ah, I know. The Bible tells us how. He was in the last meeting saying, Papa, drop the word, it's mine. Look at what has happened to Demas. It says, Demas has forsaken me. What happened to Demas? Having loved the present world. It doesn't just happen. It didn't just happen to Demas. Demas started giving excuses. He stopped attending Paul's meetings. He stopped. He had, something happened. Something came up. Another thing came up. He missed prayer meeting. And this one, he doesn't give himself to reading. Division, devotion, I'm too busy. I have staff meeting. Before you know it, see what happened to Demas. He says, Demas has forsaken me. Why? He loved the present world. He did not only leave Paul. So you know, how can today, if you are in our world today, how can somebody leave Paul? Stay there. There's nothing any man cannot do. What makes all of us sin is that we keep with the word. When you are not in the world, you can do anything. Look at, he says, having forsaken me, and he departed to Thessalonica. Have you forgotten Thessalonica? Thessalonica. That was it was the place of the heap and the hop. The place of the highway of carnality. The highway of materialism. He had stopped reading the things that Paul wrote. He had started to read every other thing. He has started to read, don't mind all this Christocentric, Christ-centered. You better come into the motivational lane. You better come to aspire, to repair, to aspire. You say it can never be Demas. Yeah, Demas finally left. He said Demas had left. He helps you know that unlike others, you know, he'll tell you Tychicus, I sent him to Ephesus. But he said, no, Demas left me. He left me because he loved the present world. Demas, I said, how can Demas? One of the top disciples. How can he leave? He stopped paying attention. He was on Instagram during prayer meeting. He was on Facebook when the word of prophecy was coming out. He would not give attention. He was no longer available for prayer meeting. He was no longer available. He did not see the word of God as what it is. The word of God, but the word of men. Are you seeing how I'm calling everything together? That worketh effectually. Before you know it, Demas will tell you, you know, Demas told Paul, God is leading me to go to Thessalonica. And Paul knew, because God had told Paul, I'm not the one, no. His mind is the one leading him to Thessalonica. Because he has done what? He has injured his mind and his conscience. So his conscience is now speaking what he's lusting after. It's not me. That's how Demas was lost. Say, give yourself to the word. Give yourself to the word. So you will not be like Demas. Give yourself to the consecrations in the world so you will not be like Demas. Find time to read. Read the word. If you don't understand it, ask questions. Amen. You know, let the Bible, the word of Christ, let it be the one that centers your core values. Read, let me get very interesting. You know, sometimes people just say, Pastor Dio, you know, drinking is not a sin, he's drinking a sin, and all those kind of things, blah, 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 blah. Let the word of God shape your core values. Open your Bible to Proverbs 31. You know, you just see something in the word of God and you shave it aside. Look at Proverbs 31. Say it's not, look at Proverbs 31. Because if you don't read, it will show. It will show. That's why it says, meditate on these things. 1 Timothy 4. He says, give yourself wholly to it, that your profiting will appear to all. Look at the book of Proverbs 31. Let us read verse 3. It says, give not your strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. Hope you know in Revelation 1 verse 5, it says you're a king and a priest. So he's talking to you. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Who do you give? He says, give strong drink to him that is ready to die, lest he would, and wine to the one that is depressed. Let him drink and forget his poverty and his misery. You see that there? So, no. The Bible already tells you, you as a reader, just read it and know. But you know what? As a believer, you don't give yourself to that thing. You're a king. He says when we give ourselves to alcohol, there are things we are no longer under control. We are not in control. And we can pervert justice. And so we don't give ourselves to it. It's as simple as that. You say, no. Even the same way. You see, as a believer, the way that we dress, everything in Christ, everything that we have, what we have believed affect everything that we do. You see, when God was talking to Aaron, when God was talking to Moses about the dress code for Aaron, he said, make a garment for Aaron. Let it be for beauty and for glory. Meaning the believer, he wears clothes that are beautiful and covers their body. Amen. It is there, is it? No. When it comes to me, you know what? When it comes to me, when I come to church, I cover my body. But when I'm outside, I am, no. You are not reading. You are not reading. Say, on my wedding day, they will see my back and cleavage. Why? Why? Why do you want to make public what that is private? What's the problem? You are not reading. It's not a matter of the generation that you are in. You are a called out person. You understand? He's there. He's in the book. He's in the book of Timothy. Say, Pastor Dayo. Yeah, because you know why a lot of people misbehave? They don't read the book of Timothy. The book of Timothy will give you instructions. It will reset your mind. Amen. Praise God. That's why I said when I was starting, as I start to conclude, read the book of Timothy so that you will be set straight. You know, there's some things that just shows that you're not reading. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at it. 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 First Timothy chapter 2. Right? It says here in verse 9. Look at verse 8. What should it's not what it says to men? I would therefore that men pray everywhere. What should men do? Pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without getting angry. So when you see a man living in anger, right? He is not reading. Because they told you, don't go to prayer with anger. So sort out the issue with your wife. Sort out the issue with your friends before you pray. Amen. Anger and prayer don't go together. Except you are going into prayer to ensure that the anger does not take a hold of you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. And don't go to prayer doubting. It's there in verse 9. These are the things that you learn from reading. Look at verse 9. And in like manner that women adorn. That means that word is the word cosmio, where we get the word cosmetic, where we get the word cosmos, world, beautiful world, divinely arranged cosmos. That's where we get the word cosmetics, right? He says, let them adorn themselves. Is it God's will for men and women to look beautiful? Yes. He says, but let it be in modest apparel. Amen. With shamefacedness and sobriety, meaning that we don't dress in such a way that we call the attention of people in a very secular and lustful way, both men and women. Amen. So you dress modestly. This is not about on Sunday. You know, a lot of people just say, I have church clothes. No. I have church clothes and I have outing clothes. Whatever you cannot wear to church is not good for anywhere. God is not in your church. God is in you. We gather together to make the church of God. Amen. So don't talk all those, this is my church clothes, and then you now go outside, you dress like a rogue. No, you are a New Testament believer. Everything in your life is showing that you are reading. You are a consecrated, called out one. You are different from one. And I can go step by step. I am saying to you, you will know as you read. So when you give yourself to reading this year, you realize that you are able to hold faith and a good conscience because you have a sense of right and wrong. You now know what to do and what not to do. Let's continue here. He says in verse 9, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broad hair. Right? He says the emphasis of your life is not just on your outwardly gold hair, wearing gold, wearing this. He says that's not the emphasis of your life. The emphasis of your life is first spiritual. That's what he's trying to say there. Amen. So as you give yourself to reading, you get to answer these questions. Personally, you just realize that God will just rebuke you. Lastly, before we close tonight, be that believer that is vulnerable to God's word. There are some people that will read God's word and they'll just turn the next page. Right? Meaning, they read God's word, they'll see what he says. No. Say, I am vulnerable to God's word. His correction, his instructions are good for me. Listen, you want to conclude tonight with the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, 4 to 6. He says that the correction of God, God corrects those that he loves. Those that he does not correct, they must be bastards. Yeah, but God has no bastards in the faith. So he corrects us all. Is that would you receive correction? Through his instructions as we proceed. That's what we're talking about. So we'll come your way next week as we proceed in this year. Have a phenomenal year. A year with instructions. Warring with the prophecies of God. Giving yourself to prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, amen. God bless you richly. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen.